notes, Luke chapter number 3. Now that our sound system is back up and running, we want to go ahead and get started with our theme this year on Wednesday night, as we would look towards this matter of prayer and the Lord Jesus Christ. As you get your sheet, you can see that we're going to be talking about the incidences of praying. And we're going to look at the first recorded time that the Lord Jesus Christ has prayed here in Luke chapter number 3. And so after everyone gets one, you can turn to Luke 3. We'll begin reading in verse number 21 through verse number 22. I do want to say this, that not everything I say is going to be outlined on your sheet for you. Some will be, some will not be. And it might just be that I might talk about something and it's lower down on your sheet, okay? So it's just because I didn't want to put everything on that little outline sheet for you. So don't be frustrated, okay? If you miss a word, see me afterwards. We'll get you filled in for that. But I think it should be kind of a blessing to you. I left a lot of different commentaries and different quotes on there for you that might be a help for you in the days to come. So we're almost done. We still have a little bit more that we're passing out. We're going to pray. We're going to read the scriptures you keep passing out. Luke chapter 3, he would read for the pastor verses 21 and verse 22 of Luke chapter number 3 as we think about this thought of the commencing in prayer tonight. Luke 3, 21 and 22. Who would read that? All right, Shannon, thank you. Father, we thank you for the scripture that was read today. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the teaching and preaching of your word this evening. Father, help us to understand as we look at the incidences of your son praying, Father, the commencing in prayers. It begins here, the first public prayer of our Lord in Luke chapter number 3. So, Father, bless now this time together as we meet. In Jesus' name we pray. You see, the baptism of Jesus Christ began the public ministry of Christ. His public ministry was marked not only by his baptism, but also by his commencing in prayer. E.M. Bounds, and he has a wonderful book, E.M. Bounds, and now they have made it into one big work. It's called The Complete Work of E.M. Bounds. He writes in that work, "He has left his Nazareth home in the carpenter's shop by God's call. He is now at the transitional point. He has moved out to his great work. The epochal and transitional period is wisely marked by prayer." You see, we begin to look at the synoptic gospels. Somebody tell me what synoptic means. Anybody know? The synoptic gospels? Same story. How about we use this word, similar gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because John is totally different than all the rest of them. So we have the three synoptic gospels all record the baptism of Christ. But Luke, guess what, is the only one that records him praying. And it's really not a surprise because Luke records more about Christ praying and more of Christ's prayers than all the others, all the other gospels. So let's notice, first of all, Roman numeral number 1, the practice of his praying, the practice of his praying. I want us to notice 4 things about this practice of Christ praying at his baptism. Notice, first of all, the spontaneity of his praying. The spontaneity of his praying. Do you want me to spell it for you? S-P-O-N-T-A-N-E-I-T-Y. Only way I can spell it right is because spell checker gets it for me. I told you before that I barely passed English, amen. But spell checker is wonderful. Thank the Lord for spell checker in Microsoft Word. So even though this is Jesus Christ's first recorded prayer, I have to believe and know in my heart that it's not the first time that he has ever prayed. I'd look at it this way. If it wasn't his habit of praying before, he wouldn't have prayed during his time of baptism. So if you think about that in your own personal life, you would know that to be true. Spontaneity in prayer is a result of previous prayer. For you to all of a sudden just start to pray about a situation or a problem in your life, it's probably because you're used to praying before that action has taken place. I sometimes say this, the more we pray, the more we want to pray. Why would that be? The more we pray, the more we would want to pray. Why would that statement be true in our lives? Because we see the answers to prayer. And those answers could be yes, no, not now, wait till later. But we see those answers in our prayer. And the answers to prayer spur us on to pray even more. Backwardness in praying, or sometimes we would say being slow to pray, usually means there hasn't been very much prayer done in the past. If a person is backwards in praying or slow to pray in any given situation, it probably means that they haven't done very much praying in times past. If you think about it for just a minute or two, if you start out a new exercise routine, you can tell that I'm a pretty exercise kind of up guy, that I do it on a pretty regular basis. Not really, but the truth of the matter is there has been times when I've had spurts of, let's walk for 3 miles every day. Let's get on the treadmill and just do a couple miles every day. And you start out a new exercise routine, guess what? It's pretty tough to do. And you get up early in the morning and after your devotions, you don't want to get on that treadmill, but you get on the treadmill and you do it, and it's very hard. But guess what? After a while, you kind of like it, don't you? You want to get on it. And it's never been true for me, but for some of you exercise people, your body craves it. I've known this guy that if he doesn't run at least a mile to 2 or 3 miles every other day, he's like down in the dumps. He's dragging around. And I said, what's the matter with you? He said, I haven't been able to run for 3 days. I can't take it anymore. Listen, I said, I never had that problem, I can assure you. Quite the opposite would be true in my own personal life, but it's still true. The more you do it, the easier it gets. You ever wonder how some people can pray out in public? You ever wonder how some people can pray? And then there's some people that are never going to pray out in public. They won't even pray in a private group setting with just 2 or 3 people gathered together. Why is that? Well, there's several reasons. It might be that they're just really shy. And they're just really shy. But it could be, and I found it to be true a lot of times, if people aren't willing to, at least to pray audibly, maybe it's because they haven't been praying enough silently. But, you know, I'm not judging anybody, because some people just are afraid. Some people don't have a good command of the English language, and they're just worried about what people might make fun out of them. And I can understand that. But generally, people who pray out loud most of the time have a good private prayer time in their life. And, you know, and it's true with prayer. The more praying we do, the more we desire to pray, and the easier it becomes to pray. And the same is true with Jesus at his baptism. His spontaneousness and at the moment to pray indicates, at least to me, and I hope to you as well, that he had done much praying prior to his baptism. And so even if we didn't know who Jesus Christ was, the Son of God, and we do know that he was always in prayer, even before his baptism, we could look at that and think, wow, here is a man of prayer. Well, notice the spontaneity in prayer, but then notice letter B, the situation for his prayer, the situation for his praying. It's of really great value to have good prayer habits about everything that comes into our life. It's especially good that we're ready to pray for those major problems that come into our life. But I found this out, that sometimes we treat prayer and those major situations, we treat God like a genie. Something, the car breaks down, boy, we're a man of prayer then. Boy, things aren't going well with the wife or the children, boy, we're men and ladies of prayer at that point. And it's important that we ought to be. But because we have such a background in our praying, we should pray on a regular basis, that it really shouldn't be any more of a bigger deal that we're praying during a crisis situation, that we're praying for God to meet the general needs of this church and the people we pray for on a regular basis. But we find that oftentimes that is the case. We're ready to pray for those major events, but not so much the minor events of our life. Well, not only did he pray about his baptism, the Bible recorded that he prayed some other times as well. I think we'll not take time to turn there, but you can look those up, and I provided the references for you, I believe. We prayed on the night before he chose the 12 disciples. He prayed, asking God the Father who they would be. Small letter B, he prayed at his transfiguration. And that was graced by praying in Luke chapter number 9. He prayed before some of his miracles. Small letter C, as he did at the tomb of Lazarus in John chapter 11. He prayed in the garden before his crucifixion in Luke chapter 22. And if that wasn't enough, guess what? Even at the very end of the earthly life of our Lord and Savior, he prayed during the crucifixion, according to Luke 23 and verse number 24. Ian Bounds, and you'll hear me quote him oftentimes during this year as we study and learn how to be the church in prayer. One of the foremost writers on prayers, he said this, "Truly the great areas of his life were created and crowned with prayer." And just as the Lord Jesus Christ did, we must practice prayer, get this now, faithfully in the major events of our life, but also in the minor events of our life. If we're going to have any success in this Christian life, our life is going to have to be characterized as one that has been in much prayer. And if you think about it, times in your life and times of others that you have observed, not judged, but you have observed, you will know that most of the time, failure in your life and failure in my life and failure in the life of other Christians, most of the time can be attributed to a lack of prayer in their life. You see, we stop praying because we stop reading the Word of God, and we stop reading the Word of God, and we stop praying because we stop being faithful to the local New Testament church. It just rolls downhill and gets worse and worse and worse. Well, we see the spontaneity in prayer, the situation for praying, then notice letter C, the silence of his praying. The praying of Jesus Christ at his baptism was obviously done silently. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know what? I don't think anybody in their right mind, when I baptized them, would pray audibly. Why is that? Because they drowned, that's right. And so listen, nobody in their right mind is going to be praying audibly while I baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But as we think about that, notice, even though he prayed silently to God, it was audible, number one, audible to God. So even though silent prayer is not heard by anybody else, guess what? It's heard by God the Father. I'm so thankful for that. I've been in situations of my life and times of my life where I immediately began lifting up a prayer to God silently in my heart, but I'm so thankful that God audibly hears our prayers. He knows our heart, and when our heart is lifted up in silent prayer, it's just as audible to the Heavenly Father as if we spoke it and as if Dave prayed here this evening for your special prayer request. Someone has said this, it could be said that some audible prayers, or in other words, audible to men, may not be heard by God, while inaudible prayers to men is heard by God. You see, it doesn't matter how loud that you and I pray to God. The volume of our prayer is really not what's important to God, but understand this is what's important. Psalm 66 and verse 18 said this, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." But get this, the silent prayer of a righteous man availeth much and will always be heard by God. So it's not whether we pray out loud or whether we pray silently in our heart. The key fact is we just pray. Just pray. Well, we see that it's audible to God, but then notice number two, we find it's adaptable to any situation. Adaptable to any situation. You see, silent prayer, like audible prayer, can be done at any time, and I made mention of that before. You have prayed in situations in your life that you would not have wanted to pray out loud, but you prayed silently in your heart and from your heart, and God has heard that. Turn back to Nehemiah chapter number 2. Nehemiah chapter number 2. Look at verses 1 and 4. I think Nehemiah really shows us the adaptableness of prayer in any given situation. And as we look at this in Nehemiah all the way back to the Old Testament, in chapter 2 in verses 1 through 4, we'll see that Nehemiah understood this premise. All right, who would read verses 1 and 2 of Nehemiah 2? All right, Henry, who would read verses 3 and 4? Everyone forgot how to read again since last Wednesday. All right, Jerry, thank you. All right, Nehemiah showing his adaptableness to prayer in any given situation. Notice the last part of verse number 4. I've underlined it. It says, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." So think about it here for a moment. Between the question that the king asked and the answer that Nehemiah did, guess what he did? He whiffed off a quick but silent prayer to God. Now, Nehemiah didn't go, "Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, before the throne of this great king, what would thou have me to ask from this great king to do for me?" He didn't do that. He lifted up a silent but audible prayer to the Heavenly Father, and God heard that and gave him the answer. There may be times when we don't have time for an audible prayer. Nehemiah didn't have time to say, "Well, I'll be right back, King. I'm going to go to my prayer closet, and I'll see you in about 30 minutes or so, and I'll give you the answer to what you have asked me." He didn't do that. We don't have time to do it. He didn't have time. But we always have time to lift up a very silent prayer. Maybe you can testify to this fact that oftentimes during witnessing, we don't even have time to offer up a silent prayer. But we know that God knows what our needs is, and he gives us that verse just right at the exact moment. Sometimes we do have time to pray, but sometimes we don't as well. The fact that we have the ability to pray in silence is really just a great blessing. Then notice lastly, then we'll be done. Number 3, notice the silence in the prayer, but the acceptable in character. He was acceptable in character. You see, silent praying never leads to hypocrisy as audible praying can. What do you think I mean by that? Silent praying never leads to hypocrisy as audible praying can. Pardon me? Because we pray from the heart, yes. And you know what? Perhaps an example of an audible prayer might have been what I just kind of, you know, made fun of Nehemiah. He didn't stop and cry out loud and fall on his face and go prostrate before the God in heaven and say, "Oh, thou righteous most heavenly Father, the creator of heaven and earth." And you know how some people pray like that. You see, when we pray silently, it tends to lead to a truer prayer that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying everyone that prays like that prays with hypocrisy, because there's some people that's the way they just pray. I think of Brother Calvin at camp, Pastor Calvin. I mean, he's an old school preacher from down in North Carolina, and when he prays just like that. But you know what? It's not praying trying to impress somebody. That's just the way that he prays. But you see, when we pray silently, that's just between us and the Lord. And a lot of times, audible praying is not done for God. It's done for the people that are hearing the prayer. If you think about it. You know, if you think when a person prays in silence, when I pray in silence, not audibly, just between the Lord and myself, my prayers often sound different than when they do when I pray here in church. You know, and God really began to speak to my heart about that. You know, I pray to him in my prayer closet like he's my father. And I speak to him respectfully, but in that manner. But when we come to church, we pray a little different. Why is that? I think because we're trying to impress people. And that's hypocrisy. Just pray what's in your heart. You don't have to add the these and the thous and the impressing words. Just pray what's in your heart. You don't have to have the contrite phrases that we often use, in Baptist and other circles. Just pray what's in your heart. Just tell God what you want. God, would you bless this service? Save someone today, Father. Win that family to yourself today. God, would you provide the money that we need for our building program and the offering today? Just pray, just like you mean it. Don't worry if you can't pray audibly when others are around. Don't worry. You just pray more, and think about this, the audibility of your praying out loud will come. The more you pray, the more you want to pray. Here's the truth, and then we'll be done. I'd rather somebody be more fervent in their quiet prayer than to pray some pretentious prayer, some spiritual, high-minded prayer out in the open that everyone hears. So you get this inward prayer right. Pray from your heart. Now with hypocrisy. And that's what the Lord did. Spontaneous. He said, Lord, I don't know what he said, but he prayed, amen. And he prayed and asked whatever he talked to the Lord about. I'm not even going to, I don't even know what he prayed, and it's not important. What's important is that he just prayed. So you pray as well. So we'll close out here today, and we'll pick up again next week. We'll be looking at letter D next week. We'll look at the site of his praying.